Good morning, everyone. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is time. We've been waiting for this for a while. We are now beginning our devotional study series through the book of Revelation. Good morning. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and I am glad you are taking the time to join us as we begin our journey through this wonderful, challenging, at times puzzling, very encouraging, and deeply inspiring book. Now, if you think of Revelation and you don't think that it's truly encouraging and inspiring, well, then I think you've probably been caught up in a lot of people who are trying to chase down details and reveal hidden mysteries that are not revealed and are spending too much time propagandizing and sensationalizing God's word rather than actually unfolding it, because this book is given to the church for our encouragement. And so that is what we are going to do as we go through Revelation. We're going to stick to the text. We're not going to try to get involved in too many of the different theories and the different speculations. We're going to stick to what God's word says, as we typically do on our devotional studies. And so we're going to walk through this book. And what we will see is that we will need to jump back to the Old Testament quite a bit, which we'll see starting next week, or not next week, but on Wednesday morning. So let's open in prayer and ask God's help as we begin our journey through this wonderful final book of the Bible. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of life in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the hope that is ours in him, a hope that is living and active, a hope that sits at your right hand, a hope that has overcome sin and death, a hope that is subjecting all his enemies to himself, a hope that is coming again to receive us to himself. Our hope is your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we enter into the revelation of Jesus Christ that you gave to your servant John for your church, we pray that you would be with us, that you would speak to us, and that you would build us up in our faith in Christ and in our unfailing hope in him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, Revelation is the final book of the Bible for a reason. It is the capstone. It is the end piece. It is the conclusion of the story. So let's dig into the first seven verses this morning. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us, and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Amen. That's as far as we're going to go. Put in verse 8 there. Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, the introduction to this wonderful book. First of all, let's begin with the name and the very first word, the Revelation. This is not the book of Revelations. I do think there's more than just a little bit of a slip there. You know, we say, oh, we're going to study Revelations. We're going to study the book of Revelations. Which is a little bit... So, true story. My very first seminary class that I took was sort of a New Testament survey, New Testament overview class. And we had a final exam. And the final exam had lots of different parts to it, very extensive final exam. And there was a true-false section. And one of the true-falses was the book of Revelations was given to the Apostle John on the island of Patmos. And I looked at it and I said, I know it's Revelation and not Revelations, but I'm a teacher and I've made tests and I've made typos before, so I put true. And the answer was false, and I got it wrong, and that was the only question I missed on that entire exam. And I was so frustrated by it. But anyway, it's more than just a slip, because this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is not a book of revelations about the future and about how to understand the news headlines and the conflict in the Middle East and the geopolitical situation and who the current U.S. president is and what the U.N. is doing and what the European Union's all about and what do those stars in the circle of the European Union even mean and all this kind of stuff. Revelation is not given to us for that reason. Revelation is given to us for the same reason that all of Scripture is given to us, and that is to show us the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is our salvation, and we need to see Him. So this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Him. God the Father gave it to Jesus. He allowed Jesus to have this prophecy, this unveiling, so that Jesus could then turn around and show it to His servants. This word revelation in the original Greek is apokalypso, apocalypse. So this is also known as the book of the apocalypse. Now, our culture has taken that word apocalypse and has used it in many, many abusive ways. It says there's a zombie apocalypse, or what are you going to do after the apocalypse, or what are you going to do when the apocalypse comes? And some people think the apocalypse is going to come from global warming, or the apocalypse is going to come from nuclear holocaust, or the apocalypse is going to come from the zombie virus. That's not what the word apocalypse means. It doesn't mean the destructive end of the world. It means an unveiling. It means a revealing. And there is only one apocalypse that is coming, and that is the apocalypse of Jesus Christ, the revealing of Jesus Christ. The day is coming when Jesus Christ will come back in person. The heavens will be rolled back like a scroll, and the Lord Jesus Himself will descend with the loud cry of command, as we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, with the trump of the angel of God. And that is where Revelation leads us. Revelation is leading us to that day, but that's not the primary meaning of this word here. This is not saying this is the cataclysmic end of the world at the coming of Jesus Christ, but rather it is an unveiling, a revealing of Jesus Christ and His reign and His rule and His coming for His church, to show His servants the things that must soon take place. Soon. I think even here in the very first verse, we get the idea that this is not something that was given to John in the first century that wasn't going to have relevance until 2,000 years later. So those people who insist that Revelation is really about some tribulation period at the end of time, the final 7 years before Jesus comes again, they've said that this book was given to John, and maybe the opening chapters about the churches, the letters to the churches, chapters 1 to 3, they might have some relevance to all the church. But then when you get to chapter 4, really, you're talking about things that are still yet future, which means they were more than 2,000 years in the future from when John was given this revelation. This doesn't sound like soon to me. It sounds like it must have some more immediate relevance to John and to the church of his day, and indeed to the church throughout all time. He made it known by sending his angel, his messenger is the word there in Greek, to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. Again, this time is near. And there's a blessing, a unique blessing pronounced on this book, that those who read aloud and those who hear are blessed, because God is showing us a truth that is hidden from most people, but he has unveiled it to us. So really, the best way to think of this book is as the unveiling of Jesus Christ, which God has given to his people to prepare us for what, even in John's day, was coming soon and was near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia. Now, this is unique because John, this is the only time he actually names himself in any of his writings. He wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. He never names himself in any of those, but he names himself here. And I think he does so with a very specific reason. I believe that by the time John was given the revelation of Jesus Christ, he was the last living apostle. He was in exile on the island of Patmos, as we'll look at on Wednesday morning. And he was, basically, the church was afraid of what was going to happen when there were no more apostles. The end of the apostolic age, the end of that personal living connection to the earthly life of Jesus Christ. John was the last living man to be a church leader who had been personally himself taught and instructed and discipled by Jesus and sent out by him. But soon, John was going to die. That time was near, and the church was going to be left without a living apostolic witness. The church was going to enter a new phase in her history. And so I think this is why John names himself here. And I do believe very strongly this was the last book of the Bible given by God to his people. It has a finality to it that we'll see weeks from now when we get to the end of this book. Grace to you and peace. This is a standard greeting among Christians. It's not just perfunctory, as I said in my sermon yesterday morning. Grace is undeserved favor from God to people who deserve the opposite. Peace is a well-being that comes from a right relationship with God, from him who is and who was and who is to come. This is a way that God and Jesus Christ, God the Father and Jesus Christ, reveal themselves in Revelation, him who is and who was and who is to come. And it's related to the Old Testament covenantal name for God, Yahweh, which means I am who I am, but it also means I am who I always was and always will be, because there's a timeless aspect to it. And so this who is and who was and who is to come is directly tied into Yahweh, Jehovah, I am. So it's God the Father and the seven spirits who are before his throne. That's a way of referring to the Holy Spirit. We'll come back to that theme again later. But seven is the number of divine completion. And so maybe a better way to see this is as the sevenfold spirit that is before his throne. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son and is a divine, perfectly complete Holy Spirit, the sevenfold spirit. We have everything that we need from the Holy Spirit, who's given us the Word of God and who is then our internal witness and comforter. And from Jesus Christ, who here is given three titles. He is the faithful witness, and the word witness is martyr in the original Greek, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Jesus is the one who faithfully tells us the truth. We can rely on every word he speaks. He is the firstborn from the dead, which means the rest of us who are in him will also rise. But that means also that he is the ruler of the new creation, and he's the ruler of the kings of the earth. Jesus is not only the appointed ruler to rule over the new creation as the firstborn from the dead, he has the rights of the firstborn over all the new creation, but he's also, we're being told, the ruler of kings on earth. Right now, this was in the first century under the Roman Empire, under some brutal emperors, Jesus is the ruler of kings on earth. There are no kings on the earth but those that Jesus allows to reign for his purposes and for his glory even. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom and priests to his God and Father. We will see that theme, those terms picked up again in chapter 5. If you want to get a little preview, go ahead and read chapter 5, verses 8 to 10. He made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds. You see, once Revelation is completed, once the church has been given the full revelation from God, Genesis to Revelation, and once the apostolic witness has departed, and once the Holy Spirit takes the gospel to the ends of the earth, Jesus is coming. He's coming with the clouds. He's coming again. And every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. This is a reference to the Old Testament book of Zechariah and to a prophecy that's in Zechariah. They will look upon him whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. So the Jewish nation will see Jesus when he comes again, and they will look upon him. They are those who have pierced him. And they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. They will realize the fact that they rejected their Messiah, their king, the one who was the son of David. And all tribes of the earth, so now we go beyond just the Jewish people to all tribes of the earth, will wail on account of him, because their time of reign will end. When Jesus comes, all of the potentates and princes and pompous dictators of the world will just be done away with. And so they're going to wail. Even so, amen. Even though it will be a day that will bring wailing to the earth because of the destruction of every earthly power, even so, amen, which means so be it. May it be. Come, Lord Jesus. That's another theme of Revelation from beginning to end. Come, Lord Jesus. Even so, amen. And then the Lord God speaks, I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come. You see that again from verse 4 down in verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. That's the encouragement that the church needs. That's the encouragement we need. We live in uncertain times. We live in a tumultuous world. We live in a divided culture. We live in a pandemic that is still claiming lives by the thousands and thousands. And what do we do living in this kind of a world? We keep our eyes on him who sits upon the throne, who rules over the kings of the earth. We keep our eyes on him who is the firstborn from the dead, who is the resurrection and the life. We keep our eyes on him who is the faithful witness, and we hear his word, even as we say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you have sent your Son, who has taken our sins upon himself on the cross, and who has defeated death and hell forever in his resurrection. He is the victorious one, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings on earth. And we are his subjects. We are part of his kingdom. We are citizens of his eternal heavenly reign. What a great privilege it is to know you. Give us that joyful confidence. Give us that unshakable hope that knows that we belong to the King of Kings. We belong to the risen one. We belong to the victorious and eternal one. And our hearts in him cannot be shaken. Father, keep our eyes on Jesus, even as we go through this book together. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Well, we are going to continue in chapter 1 on Wednesday, and we're going to see a vision of glorious, powerful Christ Jesus coming to John on the island of Patmos. Looking forward to that on Wednesday morning. Hope you'll be with us. Please make a plan to join us. If you can't, the recordings will be available for you to watch later. Have a blessed day in the Lord.